Hi and welcome to Outspoken. You're joined by journalists Sophie, Kate and Amy Torber.
On today's episode, the embarrassing social media stoush involving two high-profile media personalities, why this year's Married at First Sight is the fakest we've seen yet, and Galentine's Day, why we should ditch the boyfriends to celebrate with the girls.
Thanks so much for joining us. I do have to apologize for my very croaky voice. I lost my voice yesterday. Thankfully, it's back for today's podcast. I have every single symptom of corona, but not the illness itself, thankfully.
Just to be safe, Soph is currently sitting in a bubble boy-esque chamber so we don't get infected. Not really, but...
You guys should buy like some $20 masks down at the airport.
It'd be a bit hard to do the podcast with masks on.
You meant to be wearing the mask because you're infectious?
No, well, I've already come down with it, so it's over for me.
Just selfish.
Well, I've had a pretty crappy week, but you guys are celebrating anniversaries.
Yeah, it's so weird because Kate and my, well, not our anniversary, we're not together, but her boyfriend and her anniversary and my boyfriend and my anniversary just a few days apart. But it's crazy because then there's Valentine's Day. So it's a little bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the best timing. Reese and I decided for our anniversary, we were just going to go out for dinner considering Valentine's Day is coming up this week. And we actually went to Enzo's. For anyone in Adelaide, it's an amazing Italian restaurant. And Enzo actually sponsors the 36ers. So when we were leaving after our meal, Enzo stopped us and was like, oh, I want to give you guys a drink. So we sat down and I was hoping, you know, I don't know, Coke Zero,
Coke my favorite.
And he pulls out some homemade limoncello. Now I'm going to be dumb, but I actually didn't know what it was. And then so he poured out these little shot glasses of this bright yellow limoncello and oh my gosh, it packed a punch. Like I'm not a big drinker and I had to like gulp it down in like in intervals just to drink.
So did you realize it was alcoholic at the time?
Oh yeah, when the shot glasses came out, but I didn't want to be rude and say I didn't want it.
Because I've had limoncello before, but it was when I was in Cinque Terre, and I think it's a must if you go over to Italy, and far out, it's like, it knocks you out. It does taste quite nice though.
Well, the funny thing was Reese had it and literally we got home and I flicked Love Island on and he was asleep within 2 minutes.
So was it Love Island or the
I think it was a mixture of both.
I'm fine.
Really?
Absolutely. I'm fine. Totally fine. I don't know why it's coming out all loud and squeaky, because really, I'm fine.
So now moving on to our first topic, and it involves a social media stoush of epic proportion, plus a major PR fail. Amy, can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Well, this media stoush has just been my favourite topic today. It, of course, involves Andrew Cozzi-Costello, who is a big media personality here in Adelaide, but a lot of people will know him from, I think it was the second series of The Biggest Loser.
Back when it was really good, because that was a really good series, I remember. I really liked Cozzy on that.
Yeah, he is lovely. And he's got the reputation in South Australia of being a real sort of true Aussie and a very proud South Australian. And so Cozzy hosts a show called South Aussie with Cozzy.
And how did they come up with the name? That's just genius.
I know. What a name. What a name.
And he's also on Hit 107 here in Adelaide. Anyway, the stoush involves his show South Aussie with Cozzy. So basically what's happened is his show, it highlights different tourist spots in South Australia. And he's run a segment that's on the Discovery Holiday Parks. And he's just put a clip of their glamping tents. And this is played out all normal on the show. Anyway, fast forward to Sunday night, a woman called Lucy Corns, who is the CEO of a content creation agency in Adelaide called She Digital, and she's of course the wife of Chad Corns, who's a very well-known AFL footballer.
Does she also do She Shopped as well, or is that still a thing?
I think she has rebranded to She Digital.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I think it's also important to mention that Kane Corns is like Adelaide royalty as well.
Yes. Well, the whole Corns family, yeah, really.
His father is Graham Corns, who was the first coach of the Adelaide Crows and another popular radio identity. So it is really two huge figureheads of media in South Australia butting heads at the moment.
Yeah, so Lucy Corns has seen this segment and she's become enraged. So she's previously worked with Discovery Parks and she's put together a video for them and she's there watching South Aussie with Cozzy and sees vision of her shoot pop up and she has taken to Instagram to absolutely slam Cozzy and she and Kane Corns have basically labelled Cozzy a thief. I think we're just going to read out what she had to say. So she first hit out on her Insta story and she screenshotted South Aussie with Cozzy, showing her vision, and she wrote, "Good to see South Aussie with Cozzy using around 20 seconds of our footage without permission on tonight's show. Angry emoji face. Way to totally screw over the creative industry." And if that wasn't enough, she then took to her business page, She Digital, and she wrote, "Why does it bother us when media outlets like South Aussie with Cozzy steal our footage and distribute it as their own? Namely, because it is detrimental to the creative industry. It's robbing camera operators, producers, and drone pilots of income. We are engaged to deliver the multimedia product in the agreed formats for the specified purpose. This prevents the multimedia being taken and turned into a number of executions outside of the scope, including TVC, cinema, etc., unless someone like South Aussie with Cozzy decides it's okay to distribute, in brackets, steal the footage and claim it as their own. We are always open to increasing the license on the content under a commercial agreement which serves to protect the integrity of the individual and the industry."
Those are some pretty bold claims, to label someone a thief and to steal, that they're stealing. I mean, this woman works in PR.
Yeah, and what's worse is then Kane Corns has jumped on in the comments and written, "Where's the thief?" emoji. And this is when Cozzy has hit out and he's gone back in the comments to defend himself.
And it's safe to say that Cozzy didn't even realize which bit of footage they were initially talking about and was quite shocked at what was going on. I mean, they didn't even come to him privately and discuss what happened with this footage.
I just find it a very strange move from someone, obviously, that were, I head the PR at the 36ers, and it's a very common move, as I'm sure you guys know with the PR Bible, that you want to get your client or whoever you're working for out as much as possible. So I just don't understand it at all. I mean, we film our press conferences and trainings and then send the vision out to news stations just so they'll include it in their stories. It's very odd.
Well, the thing is, Lucy Corns doesn't actually own a public relations firm. It's just a content creation agency. And I think her beef is coming from, you know, if you read between the lines, she's saying that they were paid to produce, I think it was a social media video. And I'm assuming if you wanted to create, say, an ad or a TVC, it costs more money to do so. So I think that reading between the lines, she's annoyed that this has been used on TV and she hasn't been paid to create something.
Well, how is that Cozzy's fault though? That's really the company that she has worked for's fault.
Exactly.
And I think for our listeners, it's important to hear what Cozzy hit back with. Amy, can you talk us through what he said back to Lucy online?
Well, Cozzy wrote back on the Instagram thread and wrote, "What footage are you talking about?" To which Lucy Corns replied, "I've actually got better stuff to be doing with my Sunday night. Feel free to contact me tomorrow. Look at your Barossa story and closing sequence." To which Cozzy responded, "It doesn't take that long to actually say what footage it is you're so upset about to publicly call me a thief. I'm only asking so I can follow it up straight away. I can 100% guarantee we did not ever or have ever stolen anyone's footage without the correct approval. If you're posting it all over social media saying we steal your footage, then surely the least you can do is let me know what you're talking about."
I love that she says that she doesn't have time to respond to him when she was the one that initiated the social media argument. I also think it's worth noting that Kane Corns and Cozzy are both in rival radio jobs at the moment. They're both on air in the mornings in Adelaide. So it's quite an interesting dynamic here at play.
What I love was Adelaide, who was also a very popular program and sort of an empire here in Adelaide. They jumped into the
social media empire.
Social media empire. They jumped to the defense of Cozzy and they wrote on the thread, "At the end of the day, we're all here to support and promote our great state of SA and each other. And that's what you do so well. You're not a thief, Cozzy." And that's the thing. Cozzy was getting a lot of backlash from people who had seen Lucy Corns' post and started trolling him online. And he said that he felt very bullied by the incident.
For Adelaide to hit out, that's a pretty big deal, because for those who've never been to Adelaide, it's obviously quite a small city and we don't really have the big name influencers. And I would say that South Aussie with Cozzy and Adelaide, they're the two Instagram pages you'll go to as a business if you want a sponsored post, giveaway tickets. So they're really coming in strong about Cozzy.
It's also important to note that they're both on Channel 9. So there's a relationship
but
there between
them. But both programs also started because they wanted to support local businesses. And I think that's exactly what Cozzy has been doing so well. And it just seems like Lucy Corns' response is all about money.
Well, the drama played out further today. So as I mentioned, Cozzy, of course, hosts the morning show with Beck, their Beck and Cozzy show on Hit 107, and they invited Lucy Korns on. And oh my gosh, my mouth was just like watering listening to this.
How did she agree to this? This is what I don't understand. Like, why the hell would you think, like, if anything, give a statement. Go on your face, Instagram, and apologize there.
I think she felt so passionate about supporting the arts, the entertainment industry. I think she's so passionate on her point.
It made it just all sound like an excuse to me. Anyway.
Well, the reason she did it was she wanted to publicly apologize. But to me, it didn't really sound like an apology. We're going to insert some of her apology into the podcast so you can make up your own mind. Have a listen to this.
Why did you decide to do this post last night?
Well, I guess I have a little bit of a feisty side, which I've tried to tame over the years, but she does emerge every now and again. And the boys and I often have Cozzy's show on, you know, on a Sunday afternoon as we're getting ready for the school week. And I saw about 20 seconds of our footage roll through. And it just made me so angry because I feel like we need to be advocates for the creative industry. And I knew that footage had not been, the script of the brief was certainly not for that footage to be used in broadcast. My mistake was feisty side took over and decided to communicate that on social media. I apologise, Cozzy, for calling you a thief. The reason why I took the post down is because the client contacted me and said, oh, my God, this is our fault. We've missed this clause. We should have sought written permission, which, you know, we grant day in, day out for the footage that we take. We shoot really nice footage to be used outside of the scope. We were supposed to seek written permission for that footage to be used. That's our fault. Can you please take the post down because we're trying to avoid a media storm? And I know they asked the same of Cozzy as well.
No, they didn't ask me to take the footage down, the post down. No one's asked that.
Okay, well, I've been told different information. I'm not here to argue. I'm here to apologise. You know, I'm not in the business of making enemies. I guess what I am unapologetic about is I think that, you know, the creative industry, I know the six guys that worked really hard to shoot that beautiful imagery from the colour correctors to the drone pilot, you know, and I feel really passionate and sort of unapologetic about protecting this industry. And I know it wasn't your fault in using that footage, Cozzy, but I guess what I challenge people to think is if that they are gifted footage, just to ask that question, you know, we do this all the time and say, is there anyone we need to credit for this footage?
Yeah.
Because then at least those people are recognised for the work that they do.
So just so the listeners understand what's the go here with footage and stuff. So when South Aussie with Cozzy film a caravan park or a business, we let their business or whoever we film keep all of that footage. And we say to those people, you can use this however you want. And my footage pops up all over the place in TV commercials, online, and it kind of makes me pumped that I can have my expensive film crew there to film these clients and they can get more out of the footage that we shoot. So I let them have access to that for free.
We're not dissimilar in that way. We're not dissimilar at all, and we're very disruptive in the terms of like agency world. We certainly don't put hard restrictions on our footage, or we just have a clause in our contract that says, you know, you've been engaged, create multimedia for the scope of this brief. And the brief might be, it's generally digital, sometimes we do TV scenes, whatever. If outside of that scope, if the media is to be used outside of that scope, we just ask that you seek permission for us for that to be broadcast in a different way. And that happens all the time. You know, content will then end up on News Corp or TV or, you know, whatever. We're not dissimilar. I guess what we're trying to do is just have a roadmap and have a clear understanding of where our footage is being used and have some sort of systemised approach to protecting the creative so that they're not exploited.
But then are you seeking extra payment from them to use that footage?
No, we're not.
Then what's the big deal if you're not after extra payment?
It's just good writing. Well, it's not all about money, Cozzy. It's just about the integrity of the industry.
Yeah, but
I think we're getting bogged down in sort of a copyright argument. I think
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's more that you should have communicated with Cozzy.
Correct. Absolutely. Feisty side came out and should have absolutely not behaved in that way. And I 100% own that, and I'm unapologetic about that and unreserved about that. Yeah. I guess
Because Lucy, that's what's disappointing is the fact that you see 20, you're sitting in your home like I was last night, you see 20 seconds of footage that you guys shot on my show. You could have contacted me. You could have just DM'd me. I've seen you like tons of times. I'd like you guys. And instead of that, you jump straight on social media on Instagram, your newsfeed, and your Facebook, you and Kane Corns as well. And then you bag me as a thief. I saw that as a real attack. I think I felt like I was being online bullied, and I was really, really hurt. And I don't understand why you wouldn't have just picked up the phone and rang, or maybe rang your client and said, what's going on? I accept your apology. But it is just one of those things where you go, I don't know how it got to that so quickly. What made you in that split second go, right, I'm gonna bag him online?
Can I just say, it reminds me of when you go, like Amy, Soph and I have had a fight and you go, I'm sorry, but, like, it just seems like it was all in an excuse to passively get her own point across.
I felt so awkward for Rebecca Morse as well. Just for background for non-Adelaide listeners, she is the newsreader for Channel 10 and she also hosts Hit 107. And in Adelaide, I feel like it's so small that everyone knows each other. So Beck would have been at so many events that Kane Corns and Lucy Corns are at. She's also a huge Port Adelaide supporter.
She's
so
an ambassador for the club,
yeah,
isn't
so she must have known the family quite well.
Yeah, and then she's besties with Cozzy. So it sounded to me that she was backing Cozzy, though.
Oh, yeah.
What did you guys think about Lucy Corns' point that the reason she's being so defensive about the use of her vision is because she wants to make a stand for the creative industry and she thinks that this kind of behaviour is actually robbing camera operators and producers?
For us who own our own videography and PR company, I thought it was a bit of a joke. To me, it sounded like she was more interested in the amount of money she could have made from South Aussie with Cozzy sharing her vision. It was interesting to hear that she must have a clause in her contracts that says that her clients must ask for permission to use the footage. That isn't something that we have in our own contracts.
Well, she denied money being a motivator because Cozzy actually put that question to her. He said, well, what are you so upset about then if it's nothing to do with money? Like, are you meant to be paid extra if the vision's used? And she denied this. And obviously we've got to take it on board that she's denied it, but it does make you question, you know, is she not being honest about that? Is there some kind of extra money involved? It doesn't make sense otherwise.
I mean, for us personally, Kate touched on it before, but working in the creative industry ourselves, I'm thrilled whenever I see our vision be put on television.
Yeah, I remember when we filmed some vision for the Handpicked Festival in Adelaide and it made the South Australian Tourism Commission ads and we were like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
And it doesn't really make sense. So is she saying that Cozzy should have sent his own videographer down to film the park? Because isn't that leading into the fact that he's sort of saying that he's exploiting her own business?
Well, what she's done is she's actually just thrown the Discovery Park under the bus. On live on radio, she said, oh, they rung me up and they said it and they, you know, said it was their fault. Actually, it's your fault because you should have checked your facts. You should have rung them before posting.
And why would you, before even speaking to your client or Cozzy, put something publicly out there? I mean, it completely put, as you said, Discovery Parks in the conversation and they said, we don't want to be part of this shit.
It's quite good PR for them, to be honest. Like, everyone's talking about them, good or bad, you know.
She claims that Discovery Parks actually asked her to take down her initial post because they didn't want to get involved in a media storm.
I mean, it actually kind of sounded to me that Discovery Parks had sided with Cozzy because Lucy claimed that as well as asking her to take her post down, they also asked Cozzy to take his post down, which he denied. So it would be quite interesting to be a fly on the wall in their office to see what they think about it all.
Well, from a business perspective, do you guys think there'll actually be any implications for their business, as in She Digital?
I think there'll be huge ramifications. I think it was a very, very big blunder on her behalf. You should never, ever throw your client under the bus the way she did. Personally, if I was a local business in South Australia, I would not be wanting to get embroiled in such a public shitstorm and shit-canning incident.
I'd be thanking Cozzy. I'd be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for using that vision of our client. Like, that was amazing.
Unfortunately, I don't think Lucy Corns came across as professional, as she probably is. I mean, it's hard when being put on the spot on radio, which is why I think a written statement on her own social media channel would have been a lot better.
Well, personally, from my perspective and a PR perspective, I think she just committed a cardinal sin. As we said, blaming the client for one. And also, if you have gone on air to apologize, you need to make it a genuine apology. Now, this is just a theory and I may be completely wrong, but I was thinking, do you think she's hit out at Cozzy? Because Cozzy went on to say that when they shoot stuff for their television show, South Aussie with Cozzy, they actually give it to the clients and they allow the clients, if they want to make it into a digital ad or use it for a TVC, which is a television commercial, they can. I was wondering if there's any sort of pre-existing beef there, because if they're just shooting content for clients basically for free, that might be resulting in her business not as getting as many clients on board.
Well, it did get quite personal. There was, you know, discussions about whether they actually were friends.
Oh, that was awkward.
It was very like primary school. It was like, oh, well, I thought you were my friend. We were never friends. Like, it was just ridiculous.
Oh, I actually felt really sorry for Cozzy in that moment, because Lucy kind of blew it off and said, oh, we've only ever said hello at an event. I don't have your email address. I don't have your phone number. How was I supposed to get in touch with you? Which is pretty ridiculous statement in the modern world we live in. She could have slid into his DMs, but yeah, I think go South Aussie with Cozzy. I loved his reaction and I loved that he actually called out that shitty behavior.
Well, hopefully the radio segment, while it was entertaining, will put a stop to all the trolling that Cozzy and Lucy have been receiving, because as much as it is an interesting topic to discuss, I don't think anyone needs any trolling over it. So let's move on to the pit and peak of our social media week. And this one's quite controversial because Sophie has selected the peak. Do you want to share with us?
Yeah, it is a bit controversial. You guys think it should be the pit instead of the peak. And it is the very lavish baby shower that Khloe Kardashian held for her best friend, Malika. And it, of course, comes off the back of Stormy's very epic second birthday party, which was, of course, Stormy World.
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Honestly, it was gross. Like, they had this big machine, you know, like the with the claw machine, with like her face blown up as all the toys, like
it, what, actually, Stormy's face?
Yes, it made me feel so ill. And just how much money they spent
now,
on
now let's roll what, it back, because saying this is the
point. I've got a point to make though with Kylie. Isn't she always just a businesswoman at heart? She had at the party there was like all her Stormy makeup collection on show.
It's very clever.
Well, they were even selling Stormy t-shirts in a little merch booth area.
What, selling them to people that were there? Well,
I think they were giving them away. But
now, I thought that was foul, but I thought that this baby shower was a bit more tasteful. So the theme was teddy bears. So
were they hinting at the name of the baby?
I don't know, because Stormy previously had a butterfly theme party. So it's held by their regular event planner. So she might just like animal themes.
Well, I could tell it was a Kardashian held party the second I clicked on it, obviously because it's Malika's. But just the balloons and all the oversized stuff, like it's a very common theme that they do.
What did you guys think of the brown balloons?
Well, Amy, they weren't brown. They were different shades of beige. That was the whole thing.
Because wasn't it because Malika didn't like any color? Like she didn't want any color involved, and that's why they went with the brown.
And I love the way that she matched, like her dress matched with all of the balloons.
I actually don't mind the beige. I think the balloons look quite cool, but I'm not really loving. They had these big teddy bears. It looked like they were covered in grass, which did not go with the beige theme.
It was quite cute.
What's that about?
It was all bear themed.
They had these cute little fluffy headband with little bear ears on it, and you had to all wear them into the party. The thing I loved the most was the cereal bar. So apparently Malika has been craving cereal during her whole pregnancy. So in very Khloe fashion, they had the clear jars filled with cereal and you could scoop in whatever you wanted.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I had a controversial thought about the balloons. I actually forwarded one of Kylie's stories onto Sophie and said, is it just me or do these balloons look like hemorrhoids?
From your own experience?
No, they just did.
It's like when they put the balloons all over the mall's balls in Adelaide and people said it looked like an STD.
Well, that's kind of what it reminded me of, because there were these like weird little balloons around.
Well, the thing I liked, I felt like it gave you good inspiration if you were going to have a baby shower, because in keeping with the bear thing.
Are you giving us, dropping any?
No, I'm not. I'm planning my 31st. Anyway, they had a jar and you had to guess how many little tiny teddies were in a jar. So that's something that's affordable and doable.
Yeah, probably the most affordable thing there. Now, moving on to the pit. What was your pit, Soph?
Now, for anyone who's been listening to the podcast for a while, they'll know my love for Instagram, and I've been very, very disturbed this week.
Sophie, you're always disturbed about Instagram.
I'm very disturbed by the recent updates. Maybe I'm a creature of habit. I like things to stay the same. Now, there have been three updates that have caught my attention. The first is, now everyone's known my rant on the whole like situation. Now, they have reneged a little bit on the likes. They are now showing if someone is getting thousands or millions of likes.
Is that why I haven't noticed? Because I don't get that many likes.
So you know how it'll pop up that someone you follow has liked whoever's page, and it'll go liked by Kate Talbot, for instance. It'll now say liked by Kate Talbot and thousands of others.
Does it say thousands or actually says the number?
It says and thousands.
Really? I wonder if someone's going to make up an Instagram handle and thousands of others and just like their own stuff.
But I mean, I was wondering if this was happening because they were feeling the pressure from influencers who wanted to try and prove to their brands that they were getting these figures.
Oh my God, you know what's going to be so funny? You know all the like wannabe influencers that have paid for their following and then the ones that pay for likes? They're going to be like, oh shit, like we've just stopped paying for likes and now we're going to be outed as not having that many likes.
Yeah, well, I haven't yet noticed this, but one thing I have noticed that's really pissed me off about the new Instagram upgrade is that they've moved the like direct message little icon down to the bottom, and I'm finding it really confusing.
Something else they've added is this new feature where you can find out who you least interact with on there. So you go to your followers and it says, here's a list of people you least interact with. Here's the list of people that most come up in your feed. So it's trying to motivate you to unfollow those that you don't actually connect with on the platform.
Gee, that's not really a step forward, is it? Because Instagram were trying to claim that the reason they took away the likes was for people's mental health. And now they're advertising who to unfollow.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious who you interact with most on the feed, because I notice that the people that I interact most with or view their story the most always come up with their stories at the top. And there's some people that I'm like, geez, I haven't seen them post for a while. And then I'll go to their page and they actually have stories up, but they're just so far down the line.
I've got a good question. I haven't actually checked mine yet, but if you've looked at your Instagram with the update and it says who your most popular people and who your least popular are they people that you're actually friends with, or are they people that you don't really like?
It surprised me. There were some people that I didn't really like in there. And the sad thing was I did go into the one who I interacted with, the list that I did interact with least, and it did actually make me go and unfollow those people because I was like, ooh, I didn't realize I was following this. It was mainly brands that I kind of didn't want to get their updates from.
Oh, yeah.
Not people, because you know my feeling about that.
When my husband sees me, I want him to think that I'm a little snack, like a cupcake. Like, yeah, like I would pounce on you. Wow, I would totally root her.
This is the one topic I have been so excited to talk to you guys about, and that is, of course, Married at First Sight. Now, the juggernaut has shown no signs of slowing down, delivering its largest ever launch audience of 1.1 million viewers last Monday. Amy, I know you're one of the many viewers tuning in.
Oh, I've been frothing Married at First Sight. I feel like I've had no social life because Married at First Sight's been on, Survivor's been on, and then of course Love Island's on, but I've managed to get through all of the episodes. I don't know about you, but do you find that the weddings are a bit of a chore? Because I'm just looking forward to the honeymoons.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I had a toil day today because I worked on the weekend and I dedicated it to watching 3 episodes of Married at First Sight because I really want to catch up. But as you said, the weddings are very long, like they're very good, but I love the honeymoon. So that's what I've been living for at the moment.
Well, I must say, when I watched the first episode, I was a little bit unsure how this season was going to play out. We've heard it's meant to be the biggest and most scandalous season yet, which they seem to say that every year. But when I saw the women arrive for their hen's night, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to like any of these women. And I know that sounds really awful, but they all looked like clones of each other. They all had the Botox, the fillers, the fake boobs.
I did see a starter kit online for Married at First Sight. It was like brown hair, tattoos, fake lips.
Yeah, everyone had a sleeve of tattoos. I was really surprised. And I just looked at the women and thought, wow, you guys have been picked to brawl with each other at the dinner parties.
Well, it's funny you say that because Georgia Love also picked up on that. And last night she had on her story, her lips had gone, had enlarged from an allergic reaction to something. And she actually wrote, I should be picked for Married at First Sight.
Do you think it's an indication that people are becoming more aware of what the program is like each year and they don't want to go on there?
Well, I think they said something like that they'd had 15,000 applicants. And I was like, wow.
But I mean, I wonder how many of the people, the contestants that are on the show actually applied and how many were scouted.
Do you know what's funny? I actually heard a friend of Dale's actually applied for Married at First Sight, but he claims that he applied as a joke and they actually rung him up and were like, yeah, we're really interested in having you on. And he's like, no, I was just joking.
We should probably get into the couples, and I'm going to get the boring one out of the way. That was Poppy and Luke. Now, for those playing at home, Poppy's the one with the twins and her husband cheated on her. The best line, The best one-liner probably of the whole show came out when she was talking about how her husband had a terrible accident, which was falling into his co-worker's vagina.
Yeah, I did find their wedding a little bit boring. I thought, oh, why have they picked her? She's just going to leave because she wants to go home to her kids. But, I mean, they do seem a little bit, like, quite well-suited. Again, as you said, a bit too boring. We should move on to Amanda and Tash. They're, of course, the first lesbian couple that's ever been on Married at First Sight.
Yeah, so these two were pretty interesting. I found that Amanda was super sexual from the get-go. I didn't really like that. And her partner, Tash, who was one of the girls, she's actually a girl from Adelaide, and she's got the tattoos all over her black hair, one of the black hair tattooed girls.
Could you please be more specific?
Yeah, she's got fake lips too, but that really doesn't narrow it down. Anyway, she was kind of feeling it at the wedding. They were having a bit of a pash. It was almost like they were going to get it on that night. There was a few jokes made about it. And the morning after, Amanda came out and said, oh, they'll need to, we're going to break, like she referred that they were going to break the bed moving forward. And I didn't quite understand that. I didn't. And I kind of thought if this had been a straight couple, like if a straight guy had said that, it would have been very frowned upon.
It seems like Tash has just got the icks though. And I don't know if it is from all of the sort of sexual stuff coming out of Amanda's mouth.
Yeah, well, they're away in Queensland at the moment and they are not having a good time. It seems very awkward.
To be fair, I actually felt really sorry for Amanda when they showed her little intro and how she was really looking for the one. I find myself getting sucked into all of their stories because you watch them and they're like, I don't want to be alone. And then they're like a complete asshole on the honeymoon, and you're like, well, that's why you're single.
Well, I don't think Amanda's been such an arsehole. I think she actually has worn her heart on the sleeve, and I really think it is
on her tattoo sleeve.
No, she's not the one with the tattoos. I actually think it's Tash that has gone in there looking for fame and sort of played into the wedding, and now she's sort of going, nah, not interested.
Do you know what I enjoyed in the honeymoon episode when Amanda was trying to get stuff back on track, and she's like, you know, they're now in separate rooms. So Tash doesn't even want to be in the same room as Amanda.
That's not a good sign.
No, and Amanda's like, oh, you know, let's just try and push on and have fun and be friends. And, you know, potentially we can build from that. And then Amanda's like, now, there's a whole load of sports going on. Should we play some sports? And Tash is like, I hate sports. I was like, wow, you girls should just
She just
leave.
Wanted to do her makeup.
Doesn't it remind you of when Ines left rooms with Bronson? And it was purely because she just wanted the fame from the show. And then it just gave her the right to start texting other people in the privacy of her own suite.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's the same situation here at play yet because there's only one lesbian couple.
That could be a huge twist. Maybe that's what they're going to do, like reveal that one of the other couples is like...
Well, haven't you heard? There's actually a rumor going around that Amanda and Elizabeth from last series, who's returning to the show, are dating. How crazy is that?
Oh, my God. When I first heard that rumor, I was like, oh my gosh, is that why Elizabeth's returning? Has she been sent in to just cause so much trouble? Because, you know, when we're talking about next level drama, that really is it. I mean, she obviously was so upset when she got two-timed and now she's going to be doing the two-timing.
Just before we move on to the next couple, one thing I really liked is how Maths now, whenever they have the Amanda and Tasha segment and they have the closing logo graphic, they've actually changed it to two brides that hold hands.
Yeah,
has anyone noticed
cool.
that?
I did notice
cute.
That.
It's really cute. So let's talk about Josh and Kathy. Now, they're a bit boring as well, but they actually do seem to really like each other. All right, what does everyone think about Josh and Kathy?
I kind of like them. They seem to be the only couple that's kind of seem to actually legitimately like each other. There's been a few steamy scenes. We've seen Kathy and a G banger on national TV. And I heard that they made her film that scene numerous times. So it wasn't just organic, her dropping her little robe and walking in. Yeah, apparently they asked her to do it at least 3 or 4 times. Can you imagine the camera operators, like just thinking of the guys we used to work with, they'd enjoy that.
Well, it was a bit awkward because they had also had a scene of them in the bath with all these flowers, and then they were talking about that they think the night is the night that they're going to have sex. So let's see how that goes, because in knowing this show, it never ends up well when they have sex.
That must be an enjoyable episode for their families at home to watch. Then, of course, there's Chris and Vanessa, and poor Vanessa. She seems very down on herself. She's the poor girl that seems really upset about her apparent acne scars. I look at her and I didn't even notice. I think she looks fine.
Yeah, I feel like if she hadn't pointed them out, I wouldn't have noticed. And she doesn't even look too bad. Like, they've shown her a lot with our makeup on and she looks pretty good. I think it's all in her head.
And that Chris, he seems pretty nice and he seems to be really into her. So I was quite happy with that.
I suppose everyone's got to have their little sob story, don't they? They probably just identify what everyone feels insecure
they
about.
They do, but it's been non-stop her talking about her acne. And it's obviously a big thing in her head.
When she gets out, how quick are, like, proactive or someone going to get onto her?
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting because she has a connection to last series Married at First Sight. She's actually Bronson's ex-girlfriend, which really surprised me.
Yeah, she also has a YouTube channel, which surprised me too because I got the impression that she's very down on herself. And in the YouTube channel, she actually shared some stories about some dating mishaps with Bronson. So she claims they went out to dinner and there was a table of blonde girls and he goes, "Oh, I'd fuck all of those six girls." Ugh. He then proceeded to tell her that when he's single, he dates a lot of girls and she's one of six girls that he's dating at the moment.
So maybe we can see where those insecurities are stemming from.
Yes. One of the couples that I've been enjoying watching is Natasha and Mikey. Now, I think Mikey seems like probably the catch of the show so far. For those who haven't seen him, he seems like he's loaded, but then he's also got a heart because he works at his family's nursing home that they run. Plus, he also has a disabled auntie that he seems super sweet with.
Yeah, he does seem very sweet. It's funny, when they showed that scene of him talking to some of the people in the nursing home, like holding hands with the old ladies, I just thought in my head, they've clearly set that up. He's probably never chatted to them before.
I thought it was fake until it came out that he actually took his disabled aunt to his year 11 formal because she'd never been to a formal before.
Yeah, their relationship.
Oh my gosh, so sweet.
Yeah, their relationship was so cute. When I did see that they'd picked Natasha, I was a little bit concerned, but they actually seem to be getting on quite well. They do seem like polar opposites, though. So Natasha's backstory is that she's looking for a real man. So she's dated lots of older men before and they've had a struggle for power. So she needs someone that's going to match her.
Can I just put it out there? I read that she used to date Stu Laundy from Sophie Monk's series. Yeah, she apparently went out on some dates with him.
Do you know what? I wouldn't really put him in the old category, though.
Well, I think he was in his late 40s and she's only 26.
I don't know. I was expecting like old, fat and ugly men, not so.
Well, he's rich as well.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that shocked me was when they were on their honeymoon in Toronto, they were, is it abseiling down a rock? Some sort of activity that I would hate to be doing. And she came out and said that her hair extensions needed to be fixed. And then she went on to list all of the things that she does, like maintenance. Now, Sophie, this makes you sound like the lowest maintenance person ever.
Yeah, so you're an all-natural girl compared to this.
I'm literally sitting here with wet hair and barely any makeup on.
Well, so yeah, but you're not going out.
This is what she has done. She goes, "If you spent a week with me during a busy week, you'd run for the fucking hills." And then he's like, "What do you do?" And she's like, "Botox, fillers, nails, hair, waxing, lashes, facials, massages, fat freezing, solarium, inject melatonin, and teeth whitening."
Do you know what that reminds me of? For those who used to watch The Hills back in the day, Heidi? Heidi Montag. "I had my eyeballs bleached, my esophagus scraped."
I literally wrote that down to mention. It reminded me of that as well. And the craziest thing is, like, I don't know anyone that injects melatonin into their skin.
What does that do? It makes you tan.
It brings up your tan and it seems quite illegal.
Like, oh my God, that is so dangerous.
Yeah, so she goes to solariums and she has the injections because she is very brown. So
what is wrong with
people? Yeah, I kind of thought she looked, like, before I knew that, I thought she looked weirdly brown. Like, it was sort of like, you know, apparently you can go extra tan from eating carrots. It was kind of like she'd overdosed on carrots. Okay, I've been waiting to talk about my favorite couple. Well, favorite for a different reason, which is Hayley and David. Now, this has been amazing to watch. So Hayley's the one, she's like the bodybuilder that's got lots of tats too. So she's one of the dark-haired tats women, but she looks
tattered
women. And she's been paired with David, who he also has, like, he's a boxer, but he had an injury where he wasn't able to walk, but he's regained being able to walk. And he's got very strict Christian parents. Now, as soon as I brought up the Christian parents and I was like, yes, because you just knew it was going
to
be trouble.
And he also lives on a farm. So he's gone back to sort of country living after his accident and he's driving a truck now and said he's the happiest he's ever been.
Yeah, so I was a bit surprised. At the wedding, they seemed to be getting on really well.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, what the hell?
I mean, the parents were, they looked like their Bambi had been killed. Like, they just hated every minute of it.
But she was such a loudmouth. She, like, walked down the aisle, like, hi, everyone. And she, like, hugged the mother and father. And the mother and father looked like they were just about to tell her to fuck off. But
she clearly couldn't read a room. There was no one that was happy. But then she's like, oh, I feel like I found exactly what I've been looking for. Anyway, fast forward to their honeymoon. They got to go to Singapore, which I was jealous about. It looked so nice.
That shows how much budget they must have now. Yeah. Now, some of them got sent domestic, but they were the... I feel like they send the ones that are going to have beef with each other because it's harder to get sent home.
Yeah. Well, they sent them to Singapore, and that's where she decided to tell David that she actually is a reformed drug addict and had been a drug addict for 10 years. So
that's pretty brave to say on the show.
Well, he took the news pretty well. I was surprised, but it seems behind closed doors said news was not taken as well, because a video diary has leaked of David complaining. So there has been a fight in between this. So he took this really well. Then off camera, which I'm sure they're bloody pissed off about, she apparently... his job got brought up and he said, I'm earning $25 an hour truck driving, which is the least he's ever owned, but he's least he's ever earned, but he's really happy. Now, she's had the nerve to be judgmental about how much he earns, even though he said, no, I'm fine that you're a drug addict. Like, what the hell?
I mean, we should point out that it would be very tough to announce to the nation that you are a recovering drug addict. So that is very brave of her. But it is quite condescending to judge someone's wage.
You can't expect someone to be, you know, all forgiving of your past misdemeanors. And then when you mention how much you earn, oh, what the fuck?
Well, what? According to this explosive video diary that David has released, he actually accuses Haley of not being reformed. He actually said that her drug of choice is apparently ice, according to a magazine.
This is just like the Daily Mail must just be salivating over this news.
Well, apparently she said something about how she likes a sneaky line now and then. And she also, one of his pet peeves is smoking, and she has been smoking a lot, which has really pissed him off.
I'm surprised that this is airing in, you know, what, 7:30 times. Mm. Like, this is quite confronting.
Oh, well, hasn't been on the show. Oh, so this is, I think it was New Idea released this video diary.
So you're telling me that after smelling each other's T-shirts and liking each other's smell, apparently on the show, that these two are not well suited. I'm shocked.
So not only did he come out and claim that she was still into drugs, he also said that she has been trying to get lucrative deals before she's been on the show. So he said that she's had her teeth whitened, her lips done, and fillers in her cheeks for free. Because after, once she's famous, she's going to promote them, and she's also got a bunch of free clothes.
Gee, well, those companies are just going to lose out on that deal, because if all the other wives have made those deals, they're just gonna, it's going to become obsolete, isn't it?
So he has really slagged Haley off in this video message. He said that the way she speaks to the crew is despicable and absolutely disgusting, and that she thinks she's a fucking movie star. He also said that the crew had given him some extra cash to go to Universal Studios because they think, wow, we didn't expect her to be this fucking crazy. Now, the crew and the show itself haven't gone unnoticed either. He said that they couldn't organize a route in a brothel because his ring actually doesn't fit. And he also said, I'm looking forward to taking the experts to task when I see them because they don't know shit. Matching me with a drug addict smoker that's fucking tall, who the fuck do they think they are? It's just bizarre they would think that's the person I would fall in love with. She's a horrendous human being and there's nothing she could say to me that would change my mind. She's just a horrible person.
Now, can I ask a valid question? Has he ever seen the show before? Because you always hear these people like, oh my God, they've matched me with this complete fucking dud. Have you watched the show?
To be fair, she's... you know, a real dud.
She is quite vile.
Now, this isn't the first of one of the leaks. There's heaps of leaks on Instagram about different contestants having new boyfriends. There was even Mikey, who I was just saying was my favorite. There was an Instagram story came out with he was with a couple of blonde girls and they were like kissing him and he was like grabbing their legs. And then he's quoted as saying, fuck you, Channel 9.
Wow. I was going to say, I think that the producers and executives would love some of the stuff coming out. Like the video where David's slagging off Haley, I think they'd find that okay because everyone's still talking about maths and still wanting it, but still wanting to watch it. But when you see stuff of them having new partners, it's like, well, what's the point of watching it?
One of the photos that I've actually seen that came out was of Haley, the bodybuilder, kissing Poppy, the mum of the twins. Yeah, it's weird. It was like on a night out. And there was a few other things that surprised me when I did a little look of the Daily Mail. So we've touched on that Vanessa used to date Bronson, but there were some other ones that really shocked me. So you know Josh, he's the one that was, you know, hooking up with the girl in bikini.
Yeah, with the G-banger.
Yeah, the G-banger. He used to date Ellie from Matt Agnew's series of The Bachelorette.
Oh, really? I can see that. Is he the girl that he mistreated, that he was never home for? He's always out at the pub with the boys.
They only went out for a few years.
A few years.
Oh, sorry. I mean a few weeks, sorry. And Hayley, the bodybuilding one that we were just talking about, this one doesn't shock me, was spotted partying with Jessica Powell.
Oh, no way.
And apparently they've shared a boyfriend in Telv, who was on one of the other series of Married at First Sight.
Who hasn't Telv slept with? Like, he's... They framed him as such a nice guy and he's literally been with everybody from Mavs.
Yeah, I know. I cannot wait for the next couple of weddings. I know we've had Connie's wedding. Now, I haven't seen it yet, but one thing I did find out in my deep dive of maths this week was, you know how Connie's all down on herself?
Mm.
Apparently, she's a part-time model.
What?
Yeah, I saw the campaign and she looked absolutely stunning. And then she's like this is what the magazine were touting, but saying that she's some big party girl and she's got all these pictures of her like partying in like Thailand and whatnot in bikinis.
Oh, I was surprised that she had a huge peacock tattoo on her arm, but each to their own. I just was expecting it to be some kind of marine life.
Like a big whale.
Yeah.
Big seagull on her arm. I don't know if seagull.
Oh, well, she's stunning and I do actually really hope she finds love.
I suddenly realized that unless something changed soon, I was going to live a life where my major relationship was with a bottle of wine. And I'd finally die fat and alone and be found 3 weeks later, half eaten by wild dogs.
So on to Valentine's Day. It is, of course, Valentine's Day this Friday. And I think a lot of people are either really looking forward to it, they're the ones who've got boyfriends, or dreading it. And it is quite sad because Valentine's Day can often leave people feeling really sad and depressed. And with the pressures of social media and mass marketing, there's something that feels so inherently single-shaming about the holiday. Do you guys think it is a single-shaming day?
I definitely think it is. I used to hate Valentine's Day. This is like one of the only Valentine's Day I'm sort of, you know, half looking forward to because I have a boyfriend. Well, I had a boyfriend previously, but he gave me nothing. I think I've touched on that on another topic, but
yeah. Listen to He's Just Not Into podcast if you want to
find out. And sorry, let me put it out there. It's not about getting anything. I think it's just a nice day to spend with your boyfriend. If you know, have dinner at home, you're just, you know, spending time.
And I suppose it is a holiday where you do sit back and reflect when you don't have someone. It's kind of in your face the whole time.
I remember one Valentine's Day when I didn't have anybody and I was driving, which is like nearly every Valentine's Day, and driving into work and they'd have on the radio, it was like, and buy your special somebody something. And like just everything was related to Valentine's Day. Like I drive past and there was a sign for flowers and all these men racing in. And it does make you feel like shit. But the weird thing is, when I was single, I loved nothing more than going online and seeing what people had been given just to be like, oh, okay. It didn't make me feel depressed. It just kind of, it was this weird thing.
It's kind of destructive though. Like I'd be like, oh yeah, let's have a look, let's have a laugh. And then you'd kind of have that kind of sinking feeling in your stomach. Like, as you say, not because you wanted it, because it was kind of just, even though you went searching for it, it was kind of thrown in your face.
Do you guys think it is socially acceptable to post what you got on Valentine's Day? I know your answer, Sophie, because I've seen that you're past your Valentine's Day on social media.
Can we piece the story back? Let's visit our past of high school when at high school, Unley High School, for some absurd reason, every Valentine's Day you could send someone a rose.
Or a lollipop.
Why is that an absurd reason? No, well, like, I mean, what? Just a normal thing.
Why? Disgusting.
Why as children are we having to
why
send?
Are children?
Why as children are we having to send out rose? Anyway, I thought it was
because they were like 15.
Well, for those of us who didn't have a boyfriend at high school at all, I felt like it was, and were quite bullied, I felt like it was a way to target people. So some of the popular people would target the losers, i.e. us.
And
we never got one, but I lived in fear every Valentine's Day of being sent a rose as a joke.
Do you remember the popular teachers would also get them? So they'd have the person at the door and they'd be like, Christina, we've got one for you. And all the popular girls would get them. And, you know, you'd be like, oh, please don't give. I don't want one. I don't know. I don't want one because I know it will be a joke. And then they'd be like, and Miss Mazarin, we've also got one for you.
But and that's why I feel like, because I feel like we had some pretty awful times growing up. So that's why when I did first get a Valentine's Day gift, I did put it on Instagram.
Well, okay. So then I feel like you've kind of crept around the question, Sophie. So then you're saying it is okay. Like, do you think it's okay to post what you got on Instagram?
I think it's okay. I personally enjoy seeing them. I think it depends how you go about it.
I'm the opposite. I like seeing it from a perspective where it's very voyeuristic and sort of like, oh, it's interesting that they've got that. Or
I personally would feel just like a bit of a dickhead putting up what I got.
Do you know what though? I sometimes put it up because I feel like it's nice to say thank you to your boyfriend. Like sometimes my boyfriend's like, oh, are you going to put it up? I've made this effort to do something nice for you.
So then is it for you or for Instagram?
Well, he's not doing it for Instagram, but I don't know. I think it's nice. Like if I gave him something and put in effort, like I don't know.
I find that very rare because I know with Reese and Dale, they couldn't give a shit what you posted online.
Yeah, Dale's like not even on Instagram.
Well, going back to
it's like sorry, it just reminds me of like when someone puts up a post for their like father or something on Instagram and they don't even have it.
Thank you for being the best dad ever.
But I think I found this great picture of us together that I look really good in.
But I think we do use social media as a way to mark things. Like, you know, if someone dies, you do write a post. Obviously, the person who's died can't
see it. That's very grim. That got very dark.
From Valentine's Day to death. Okay.
Well, I mean, there is this huge movement now of this thing called Galentine's Day, and it has been around for 10 years now.
Has it? Wow. I've never heard about it until this year. Because I would have been well on board with it in all those depressing years.
Your gals together.
Well, I think it is a huge marketing spill at the moment. But it was created by a fictional character called Leslie Knope.
How does a fictional character create something?
Because they had a television show called Galentine's Day where they celebrated their friends.
It was a television show.
Yeah. And so basically it's where you shower your girlfriends with presents. So, I mean, it is being very much pushed by brands at the moment.
So it's just a way that they can capitalize on, you know, 50% of the population that don't have partners.
That would make me feel worse.
Do you know what, though? It's actually held the day before Valentine's Day.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Can you do both?
Yeah, it should be held the day after so you can get cheap flowers and chocolates. Only 3 years. Yeah, well, we Kate and I and a friend of ours, Ben, when we were all single, we celebrated Valentine's Day by going to get Montezuma's Mexican food, and then we crashed Sophie's vomit fest homemade dinner from her ex-boyfriend. No, well, she made the food.
The worst bit about that was that when we went out to Montezuma's with Ben, they probably thought he was in sort of some polyamorous relationship because it was on Valentine's night.
The thing is, I don't even think Valentine's Day is that big a deal. I don't know. I think it's probably more of a big deal when you don't have somebody.
Yeah, I feel very sorry for the people who've just gotten out of a serious relationship or maybe they've lost someone in their lives. It could be, yeah, I feel like it has all the awful reminders and it's kind of triggering that you're alone.
I actually do remember, I think I put this up on Valentine's Day, some sort of Bridget Jones reference back in the day. God, that's embarrassing.
What was it?
I don't know. Remember when she was singing like All By Myself or something?
Oh, Jesus.
Was it Ben and Jerry's? Was it about being with Ben and Jerry, the ice cream?
What? No, I just said it was about when she was singing All By Myself in her pajamas. She's got a quote about
that. Do you know what? I think there's this whole movement of also, as well as Galentine's Day, like self-love and treating yourself. What do you guys think of that?
Well, I did see a video by your favorite YouTuber Anastasia Kingsnorth, and I was like, yes, there's a new video. And it was about being single on Valentine's Day. If anyone wants to check it out, go on YouTube and just type in her name. And it literally just turned into a lingerie ad. I was like, what is this? You could see that, you know, she'd obviously been asked to do this ad for their lingerie, and she'd gone, oh shit, how can I actually factor this in because I don't have a boyfriend? So her idea was that you should get dressed up in your lingerie, and she showed like she had like suspenders and everything.
Can you imagine living at home with your parents doing this? I'm sorry, I'm just in the bar.
Like, yeah, and she does, she lives at home with her mother and her five-year-old brother, and I was like, I don't think you're sitting around your house on Valentine's Day in lingerie.
I feel like there is something nice, though, about not that, but about like, you know, not just hiding in your room and doing nothing on the day, like catching up with friends, doing exactly something to take your mind off it.
That's exactly what she was suggesting, to hide in your room and watch Netflix in your lingerie and, yeah.
Well, that being said, it is very expensive to go out for dinner on that day, so maybe...
How is it any different?
So they seem to jack up the price. You can never get a table anywhere.
It's more expensive than eating at home.
Well, how will you two be celebrating Valentine's Day?
To be honest, I've not even thought about it. I have no idea. I'm not... Dale suggested maybe going to the Fringe if it's on. I don't even know if it's on.
I have no idea. I don't have any plans as of yet. Sophie, what about you?
If anyone's interested to see what Sophie's doing, it will be all over Instagram. Well, I think that's all we've got time for. If you do want to check out Sophie's Valentine's Day, as I said, just check on her Instagram story.
But the pressure now. I better put something good up.
Yeah, Brandon's got more pressure, more like it. Thank you so much for joining us. If you do want to continue the conversation, we're, of course, on Instagram at @outspoken_the_podcast. We'd also love if you could leave us a review. Please don't bother leaving the negative ones. Just a positive one would be amazing, because there needs to be a bit more positivity in the world.
It's not good for my mental health.
If you have a negative review, please send it to us privately via message.
Yes, and we hope you can join us again on Thursday for our next episode. Thanks again.